Hi, attainable listeners. Today, we are speaking with Kim Starzik. Kim is an artist and entrepreneur with a vibrant story that has landed her in Los Angeles, California. Kim is a powerhouse professionally and personally, wearing many hats, including the business Kim runs today as a professional in wellness and beauty. We will deep dive into the work Kim is doing to educate and empower others around clean beauty through her Arbonne business, which, if you haven't heard of Arbonne, it is a certified B Corporation offering high-performance vegan products in health, wellness, and beauty internationally. In our conversation, Kim shares with us some shocking practices in the cosmetics and personal care industry and gives us reason to look out for vegan products when all possible. I'm excited to share this eye-opening conversation with you. Let's go. Hey, Kim.
Hi.
Welcome to the Attainable Podcast.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for having me.
You are a health and wellness coach, and you are an executive regional vice president at Arbonne International. We've had some awesome conversations talking about clean beauty and being better to our bodies. I'd love for you to start the conversation by letting us know how your journey has evolved, really what that evolution for you was to get where you are today.
Ever since I can remember, I've just had an interest in health and wellness. I grew up, my mom was a single mom. She got married very young. We lived mostly on fast food and TV dinners. So it was the 70s. It was that. But I started working in restaurants when I was a teenager. I became an actress. So that meant waiter-actor thing happening for a long time. So I worked in restaurants in New York for a long time. And I started to learn a lot about food and nutrition and how amazing and delicious vegetables were that didn't come in a can. I just became very interested in cooking, how food affected the body. I developed psoriasis when I was 20, when I was living in Paris. And because of that, I've been trying to heal myself holistically for many, many years. So I just read everything that there is to read on the effect between food and the body and how different foods affect the body in different ways. So I have a lot of, I'm self-educated in that arena. And when my son turned, I guess he was around 15, he developed this really horrible rash. And we went to a dermatologist. Over the course of a year, we went to actually several doctors about it. And they did things like, well, first of all, he was, they said it was dermatitis, which turns out to be a catch-all for we don't know what it is. They prescribed steroids, said change your laundry detergent, different shampoos, different things were recommended, external things, right? Finally, and it would go away for a little while. It would come back. At the end of the year, it was just awful. It was practically covering his body. He was crying. I felt like the worst mother in the entire world. I finally went and insisted on him being allergy tested. Now, the crazy thing to me is that I had to insist on that, like that wasn't one of the first things that was suggested. So if anyone's ever experiencing a skin issue, I highly recommend that one of the first things you do is ask to be tested, because it's not going to be one of the first things they recommend, because I think it's expensive and insurance doesn't like to cover it. That's, of course, variable depending on your insurance. Anyway, my son turned out to be allergic to a couple of really toxic chemicals, formaldehyde and something called CLMEIC-thiazone. Formaldehyde is, you know, a very common preservative. I only knew about it because obviously it preserves dead bodies, but unbeknownst to me, it is a preservative that is in everything and it's highly toxic. It's proven to cause cancer. To me, it's just unconscionable that they even put this ingredient in anything, but it's very commonly used. Other chemical is a neurotoxin. Again, very, very commonly used as a preservative. I went into his bathroom with my, you know, magnifying glass, and one or both of those chemicals was in almost every single product. And if you remember what I just said about my upbringing, so I swung the opposite direction from the whole 70s, better living through plastic, you know, processed foods, all that, as we tend to do, right? We do the opposite of what our parents did. And I'm an all organic, all natural, like this is what I buy. This is how I shop. The products in his bathroom were all labeled either organic or all natural, or the dermatologist had told me to buy them. So when I discovered that these chemicals were in all of those products, I was just, first of all, flabbergasted, angry, and I had no idea what to do because I was already buying what was marketed to be the safest stuff. And the key word there in that sentence is marketed, because what I've come to learn and what I'm really passionate about sharing is that marketing is all that is. There is no government agency overseeing this industry. There's an adjunct committee to the FDA made up of the CEOs of these companies. The US has not passed a consumer protection law since 1938. And the burden of proof rests upon the person affected as far as any kind of lawsuit or anything. So we have to be our own health advocates. Period. We have to educate ourselves, and this is not readily available. This is what I love to do. This is how I got involved and how I started what I do.
Thinking about the term conscious consumer, it's so hard to be a conscious consumer because we talk about that word marketed. We want to trust brands and believe that they wouldn't be telling us something bad or sneakily putting something in. You are trying to do the right thing. How are we supposed to really be able to trust brands? And not everyone goes through experiences like this.
No, and that's the crazy thing, right? We all want to do what's best for our families. We all want to use the healthiest, safest stuff. Of course we do. But who has the time to read every single label? I used to try, but you need a chemistry degree to understand all of the ingredients. It's really, really difficult. And then another major misunderstanding is the word all natural. I know for me, I was trying to buy everything as natural as possible because natural is good, right? In our minds, natural is good and chemical is bad. But the truth is, not all natural things are safe and good, and not all chemical things are bad. It's that whole thing I was just talking about with the pendulum has swung so far in the other direction now that a lot of people only want that thing that has, three ingredients that you can understand and you can pronounce and you can eat. Or there's people that are that extreme, or the people that are just overwhelmed by it all. There's just too much information. It's changing all the time. Everything turns out to not be good for us. So I just don't even want to look at it. I ignore it. I'm just buying what I can afford and that's it. It's kind of those two extremes, but I don't feel like it has to be. It doesn't have to be that hard. It doesn't have to be that onerous. It doesn't have to be that scary. We just have to educate ourselves to enough of a degree and then do the best you can most of the time, right? Because life is real. And sometimes, I don't always do what's good for me. I know what's good for me. Sometimes I choose not to. It's okay. We're grownups. But, you can't make a healthier choice if you don't know about it, if you don't know there's one to be made.
Yes. Yes. So you're looking at these products that your son's been using and you're realizing all of them are not serving him and not being good to his skin. What do you do?
I just want a caveat here. My son's allergic. My company that I'm going to talk about, it doesn't cure every one of every rash, right? We all have to become aware of what's affecting our individual body and what's good for us and not good for us. And then in general, what's harmful that's in stuff that we can in general avoid, all of us. So what I did, circumstance happened. And I am a believer that there are no accidents. I'm also a believer in stepping out of your comfort zone. And interestingly, so I was doing, as I said, I'm an actor. I had gotten my real estate license because my husband's also an actor and that's a very unsteady income. Two actors and two kids. So I needed to just have some more steady income, which if anyone's ever done real estate, that's kind of a joke because that ain't steady either. But I was doing that. It was pretty lucrative, although unsteady. And I had taken on a partner who convinced me to go door knocking this one day. And when I started real estate, I said, there's two things I'll never do. I'll never go door knocking and I'll never have my face on a bus stop. Well, I never had my face in a bus stop. This one day, I was just handing flyers out in my neighborhood and it was awful, like I expected it to be. But the last house, this woman drove up in her driveway as I had just delivered my last flyer on her doorstep and I was walking out and we met and had some stuff in common and we were chatting and she was lovely. Ended up going in and having tea with her and we're dear friends now. And I told her the story about my son and she said, well, I have this. Oh, and by the way, she's an incredibly impressive person. She's a Harvard educated lawyer who changed careers mid-path to becoming a Emmy nominated lyricist. Her husband's a big film producer, right? And I just say that because I had a judgment on my kind of business. And she mentioned, after this quite a while of us talking about lots of things, looking at the gold records on her wall, which is why I knew what she did. She says, "Oh, you know, I have this other business I do on the side. You might want to try these products for your son." I looked at her like she was crazy, because you do one of those. But I was desperate for products. So I did. I switched out my son's shampoo and body wash to Arbonne products, and which I ordered online. And his rash was gone in a few days after a year of doctors. And just, I couldn't believe it. And it was simply because he stopped pouring poison down his body that he's allergic to, so he shouldn't use, but that none of us should use because they cause cancer.
Wow. Yeah. And even organic, labeled, deemed organic products. Yeah.
Well, one of the biggest offender was the organic shampoo that I had bought at Trader Joe's. That was one of the biggest offenders. One of the things I learned was that they can put the label organic on something if it has one organic ingredient. Doesn't have to mean that it can be full of all kinds of terrible stuff, but if it has an organic ingredient in it, they can call it organic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's no enforcement of these things.
Let's talk about clean beauty and all natural products and chemical enhanced products. And I think that you made a really clear and important distinction that chemicals can be good. Yeah. And can enhance a product. When you were looking at, you know, or when any a consumer goes and looks at the back of a bottle, and there's so many ingredients on there that you can't pronounce, right? You don't know. You're just, you know, you maybe the bottle says organic or all natural, so you just believe that that's a good thing. When you look at labels, because you are more familiar with specific ingredients, do you feel like you can really read and call out the ingredients, knowing that they're good or bad, good activated, bad activated? And then compared to Arbonne, what is that difference there?
Yes and no is the answer. I don't know all of them. It's impossible. There's thousands. And there's many things that go under many different names. So it's, and they obfuscate it deliberately. So it's hard. It's one of the reasons I use my brand, because I know what's in it. I know what's not in it. My company makes over 250 products. I know I'm safe with whatever I'm shopping from Arbonne. But what I love to do is educate people about the top things. You know, if anyone's interested, I can send them a list of 2000 things to look out for. And I'm happy to provide my information. And I'll send that list to anybody. But you know, how do you keep 2000 ingredients in your head, right? There's like 10 that people need to look out for. The first one I'll talk about, and this is why vegan is important. Okay. So there's many reasons vegan is important, but I'm not a vegan, or I'm going in that direction now, but, then I wasn't even very much at all. So I never cared, right? I thought, well, who cares about vegan products if you're not a vegan? Okay. But there's a very important reason to consider using only certified vegan products, as well as eating vegan. And the reason is for products, because there's an industry called animal rendering. I highly, highly recommend that anybody Google this. Okay. Animal rendering. It's a billion-dollar industry that no one's ever heard of. And it's basically an animal recycling industry. So there's plants all over the country, several in South LA. You can smell them when you drive by. And what they do is they send trucks out and they pick up dead animals. They pick up roadkill, euthanized pets from animal shelters, meat from supermarkets and restaurants that's too old to sell. There's literally a garbage can that they put in the back with the old meat in it, and they come pick this up. They go to slaughterhouses and they pick up the animals, the dead diseased animals that are too diseased to go into the food chain. All of this frying fat, all of this disgusting stuff, they boil it in these huge vats. I know, it's horrifying.
My mouth is just open. Oh my God.
You got it. You have to Google this. It's crazy. When I was first told of this, I said, you've got to be kidding. This is, you're exaggerating. You're trying to sell your products. Like, yeah. Yeah, it's true. So they boil this stuff, and the fat that rises to the top is called tallow. And look, it's not inherently bad. Thousands of years, people have been moisturizing with animal fat. Right? Animal fat is fine. It's just that today, it's filled with hormones and antibiotics and diseased animals and all of the things that we're trying not to eat, right? That if we do eat meat, we're trying grass-fed, not processed, right? We're getting it on our bodies through our products. Our skin is our largest organ. What you put on it gets in your bloodstream very quickly, faster than what you eat. Because when you eat, at least it goes through the filtering organs of the liver and kidneys, right? But when you're putting things, slathering things on your skin, it's just going right in. So these animal byproducts are absolutely disgusting and full of all kinds of horrible stuff that we don't want in our bodies. And the biggest purchaser of this tallow is the cosmetic and personal care industry. Why? Because it's emollient. It's smooth and silky and soft and moisturizing, and it helps the makeup stay on your face. So unless you're using a certified vegan product, you have probably a 97-ish% chance of that it has animal byproduct in it. So that's why vegan is really important. And just to get to the question you asked, which is about the chemicals. So because the animal byproduct smells bad, they have to attach a fragrance to it to make it smell okay. And they attach the fragrance, which is usually a synthetic fragrance, which also has associated issues and people get headaches and intolerances to that. But they attach it with a chemical called a phthalate, which is P-H-T-H-A-L-A-T-E-S. Again, I highly recommend that you Google this chemical because it's an endocrine disruptor. It's one of the chemicals that they use. It's a plasticizer. It keeps products from separating. It's a binding agent. It's used for all of these reasons. So it binds fragrance to animal byproduct. It's why our water bottles are crinkly now. BPA is a phthalate as well.
Interesting. Wait, you said endocrine disruptor?
Endocrine disruptor, yep.
What is that?
So it messes with your hormones.
So for women, particularly, it affects us.
Yes, it's horrendous. It's so toxic, this chemical, that it was taken out of water bottles, children's toys, baby bottles, recently, not when my kids were little, recently. That's why I share this, right? My kids are 20 and 23, but I thought I was putting what was safe on them their whole lives, and I wasn't. Formaldehyde, by the way, formaldehyde is in Johnson & Johnson's baby shampoo, or it used to be. I don't know if it still is. But formaldehyde numbs the tear ducts. So that's why it's no more tears.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Side note, I needed a minute after that one. Now we'll jump back in. Here we go. So to play devil's advocate here for a second, talking about companies putting certain ingredients, chemicals, preservatives in their products.
Yep.
To your best knowledge, do these companies know that these are toxic chemicals that the body will react?
100%. Absolutely, they do.
Okay. So there's no doubt in your mind.
Go watch a documentary called Toxic Beauty. It's fantastic. I'll give you one example. And by the way, just to be generous to the companies, these ingredients that are really toxic are at the bottom of the list. They're very small amounts. Okay. So they're not like number one or two ingredients. Okay. They're further down. However, that's just one product. If you think about how many products you use on a daily basis, they say the average woman uses between like 18 and 25 products a day. Now, maybe you're a minimalist and you don't wear makeup and you don't, use a lot of products. But if you really think about what you use from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed, from what you're washing with, moisturizing with, brushing your teeth with, deodorizing with, all the stuff that we do and then what we do to take it off again at night, it's a lot. So you multiply that by how many products, how much little bit of stuff is in there, by how many years you're using them. And I'm talking about personal care and beauty products. These are things that we're using, from the moment we're born till we die. Like this is, every day. This is how we keep hygienic in modern society. So this is a huge shift that people need to make. There's another documentary called The Human Experiment. Sean Penn narrates and I think produces it as well. And it talks about the rise in the use of chemicals over the last 50 years and how it correlates exactly in the rise in disease in this country. So there is tons of evidence around this. The documentary Toxic Beauty talks about ovarian cancer and Johnson & Johnson's. That was the first lawsuit to be won, and I don't know how many years, but a very, very, very long time. Because as I mentioned before, the burden of proof is on the victim. So if someone gets sick from some products, right, some ingredient, they have to sue that company and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that that ingredient caused that illness, right? So who has more money? Johnson & Johnson or this person with ovarian cancer, right? And guess what? They can play a waiting game and people die before they get their day in court. And this is what happened with ovarian cancer, but still they won. Okay. So Johnson & Johnson now, I don't know if they're discontinuing use of baby powder or they have to put a warning label. I forget, but I'll tell you what, my aunt died of ovarian cancer and I've been afraid to ask my uncle if she used baby powder, but I bet she did. I know I used it even while I was doing Arbonne, you know, years into my business until I realized that that was a connection.
And that is hard. I like to think that I don't wear a ton of makeup or, you know, but I absolutely, that was a really good point you brought up of waking up in the morning, you know, brushing your teeth to, you know, everything we use. Absolutely. I use probably 35 products every day.
As a society, we're starting to think about what we eat, thank goodness. And not everyone, like obviously we still have an obesity epidemic in this country, but we can't think of our health in just one way. We can't just think of our health in terms of diet. We have to think in terms holistically. And again, that's why I love my company because it takes a holistic approach to health. We have to deal with our stress. Stress is one of the biggest killers. We have to deal with our diet and what we're consuming and how are we eating it? And are we eating to just, you know, numb ourselves? Are we eating ourselves just because it tastes good? Or are we looking at food as fuel and nutrition, right? And having it taste good and be good for us, right? It's a mindset shift. Are we thinking about what we're putting on our bodies and how it's affecting us and what the ingredients are in that? And then, you know, what companies are we supporting? We're all buying this stuff. So who are you buying from? You know, you're supporting that company with your purchase, right? So there's just so many factors to consider in here when it comes to overall holistic health and wellness of us as individuals and as a society.
Absolutely. Tell us about any new projects you have coming up or how people can find you. I know you mentioned a list of toxic chemicals or, you know, things. How can people reach you if they want to? And what are you working on these days?
We're doing these fun day-long or weekend-long events on social media that we can invite people to. It's just a way for them to check out our brand and business and learn about it. I'm looking for people who want to host those. I'm looking for people who want to just come check them out on Facebook and Instagram. So if anybody's interested in that, helping me spread the word about this, I'd be super grateful. So reach out to me. My email is Kim, K-I-M-F-S, as in Frank Sam, at mac.com. My website is Kim Starzik, and that's K-I-M-S-T-A-R, star in the sky, Z as in zebra, Y-K, at arbonne.com. And Arbonne is A-R-B-O-N-N-E. So, and that's my shopping site. My email is if anybody wants more information, if they want that list of ingredients to look out for, if they're interested in hosting or attending, you know, any kind of online event to learn more information or who just wants to talk to me privately. I love coaching people with their nutrition. I love coaching people, helping them find safer products. I love just helping people find ways to be empowered and more knowledgeable.
And this brings us to our final question. What is one action our listeners can take with them to be more sustainable in their daily lives today?
Every choice we make as consumers, and you talked about this, about being how important it is to be a conscious consumer, but that's a phrase that's tossed around a lot. And I don't know that people actually get that on the most basic level, every single time they shop, they are supporting that company. Their money is trickling up to the CEO of that company, ultimately, right? And the top level people there. It's paying for their Maserati and their vacation and their kids to go to college. Okay. So who do you want to support? Talk about local shopping and supporting small business. This is all part of that. So do you want to shop local? Do you want to support women? Do you want to support Black-owned businesses? Do you want to support B corporations? Any and all of these things I highly recommend, right? Just know that every time you're shopping, you are making a choice. That's why I say support B Corps. First of all, you'll know down to the supply chain to, you know, that it's clean, that there are no children making your product, that people are being paid a living wage. So just if everyone can just have some more consciousness around how they're purchasing, what they're purchasing, who they're purchasing from.
That's great. I think it is just really important to be very conscious of what our money means and how it's supporting and who it's supporting.
Exactly. And just think about it. Just take a look. None of us are immune to this. I love to read. I get all my books from Amazon, and it just occurred to me the other day, I live near Larchmont, and I driving down all those little shops, and I'm so worried about all those little shops that they're all, right now the small businesses are really suffering. And then I thought, wow, there's an amazing bookstore there, and I'm being really lazy and I'm shopping from Amazon instead of going to that bookstore. So as soon as I made the conscious connection, I'm made a different choice. But it's a little more of a pain. I'm used to ordering online now, so now I got to get in my car and drive 5 minutes to the store and wear my mask, but it's important to me, so I'm going to make that choice.
Good.
We do it as we can and where we can, but just to start to have that awareness is the first step.
Kim, this has been such a pleasure.
Always great to talk to you, Amy. Thank you.
And we'll connect soon. Have a good rest of your day.
You too.
To take action in our own lives when it comes to our personal health and wellness, Kim encourages us to learn more about the businesses and brands we purchase from, to understand and research on a deeper level what that brand stands for. She asks that we support businesses that are transparent in their sourcing, ingredients, operations, practices, and impact, because just as much as bad brands are affecting our personal livelihood and the livelihood of our environment, our dollars affect the success of that brand. Less money, less power, less bad impact. I am certainly going to take action today and look over all of the products I use. I suspect many of them are not vegan, and many of them have ingredients that I would not want to put on my skin. Consider doing the same and start to support brands like Arbonne that pride themselves in the health of their customers, employees, and our planet. Let's do what it takes to be truly conscious consumers. Let's go.